Welcome to our study of the Gospel of John here on the Radio Bible Course. Jesus Christ promised the disciples that he would come back to get them so they could be where he is. And yet many people say, we're not worthy to go there. We aren't good enough. We have too many sins. But friends, we've looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we have seen how the Corinthians, who were adulterers, fornicators, homosexuals, and who had done many other evil things, had been washed and sanctified and justified by believing in Jesus Christ, and all that was done by God. You know, the Bible doesn't teach reformation. It instead tells people good news that if they believe in the righteous one, they will be accepted by God. Jesus is the way to God. When you believe in him, then you are washed, sanctified, and justified. But we ought to be practical about this, people say. We all know that none of us are perfect. What about all of these imperfections and failures that each of us has? Well, the first thing I can say is that God is not surprised by any of your failures. The fact is that as far as God is concerned, when you believed in Christ, you were purged of your sins. Does the Bible say that? It does. And it comes to us from Peter, primarily. In his second epistle, Peter wrote in chapter 1, verse 9, where he was talking about virtues, he said, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Purged? Yes. Once you forget that you have been purged, you're going to forget a lot of other things about what God wants you to be. It's good to remember the death of Christ for our sins. And for that reason, whenever we meet to break bread and observe the Lord's Supper, we remember what? We remember that he died for our sins, and we ought not ever to forget that. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it tells us when he had by himself purged our sins. Friends, do you need to go to a place to be purged of your sins? If you have gone to the cross by faith and believed in the one who died on that cross, you have gone to the place of purging, because it is faith in Christ who died for us that purges us from our sins. And then it tells us, and after he had done that, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Do you know why he sat down? Because there's no more purging to do. He did everything that he needed to do once for all time. Obviously, God is in the purification business, and that's brought out in the Epistle to Titus, chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." Well, that tells us what God is interested in. He wants pure people, and he wants good works from those who believe in him. For ages, man has been conscious of the need to be pure enough to be accepted by God. But with the revelation that God has given through the apostles and the prophets, has come knowledge of how it can become a reality. And Peter is especially good on this subject, for in his first epistle, in chapter 1, verse 22, he said, "Since you," referring to Christians, "since you have purified your souls." How? He tells us, "in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren." Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Well, when I read that, I have to conclude that Peter at that Last Supper certainly got the message from Jesus that Christians ought to love. Notice again, "since you have purified your souls." And how did they do that? By believing, through faith. But Peter also, in the book of Acts, when there was a threat by false teachers in the church, said this in defending his preaching to Gentiles, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. You'll read that in Acts chapter 15. You see, the Jews in that setting were saying that the Gentiles needed to be circumcised. And Peter said, hey, don't lay that on them. Neither we nor our fathers were able to live by the law. Don't put it on the Gentiles. Furthermore, they have believed, and God made no distinction between these Gentiles and us. He purified their hearts by faith, and that's the way your heart will be purified. So then, heaven is for purified and purged people, and the only way you get that is through faith. Friends, faith won't save you, but faith in Christ will save you, for He is the way to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. But we must remember, we can't have faith in anything. It can't be aimless. Faith has to be rifle faith, aimed at Jesus Christ who died for us. He's the only one the Father has told that we ought to believe in. I keep running into people who say, oh, I think I'll get to heaven because I have faith. Well, the Bible never says that faith saves. It's only faith in Christ that will save. So it has to be focused there. Faith must have the right object, or it will be useless. Now consider this. If I need to go to a place for further purging so that I'll be good enough to get into heaven, it means that Christ's sacrifice was not sufficient to purify me. And that is a terrible indictment of the work of Christ. It tells me that He did not do enough to purge me of my sins, and that I have to go somewhere else and get some more purging. Friends, if that were the case, then we could talk about the unfinished work of Christ on the cross, or the incomplete work of Christ on the cross. But when we read the New Testament, we never get that idea, because it tells us about the finished work of Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, He said, it is finished. What was finished? Everything necessary for men to come to God through Him. Everything that the law demanded was paid for by Jesus Christ. He finished it. He paid it in full. There is nothing else to pay. The Bible tells me He did purge us. His precious blood washes away the sins of everyone who believes, and you are precious thereafter in His sight. Christ is preparing a place for His precious ones. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews said about this subject in chapter 10, verse 14. For by one offering He has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Sanctified? Yes, by believing in Christ. The completion is what He wants to emphasize here. Everything has been done. Nothing remains to be done. Christ has done it all. Now, the Bible also tells us that contrary to our ideas of needing to be worthy, that there is a righteousness of God, apart from law, which comes through faith. You'll read about that in Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 19. It says, He has a righteousness that He gives to the believer. He doesn't expect you to get to heaven on your own righteousness. Now let's discuss what Jesus meant by the place. He said He was going to prepare a place for us. And of course He was talking about heaven. Well, He meant, first of all, that there was room for everybody there, everybody who believes, and that He personally was going to make a place for those who believe. But whatever heaven is, the most outstanding part of it is this. It's where Christ is. I wouldn't want to go to any place, no matter how beautiful it were, if he were not there. That's what makes heaven. The perfect Son of God who loved me so much that he laid down his life for me is going to be in heaven, and that is heaven to be with him. We don't have to be concerned about any disappointment when we are with the person who has laid down his life for us. Now, look at the text again. We may have a minute or two here. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. You realize they were sorrowful because he was going to leave, but here he is announcing that although he is going to leave, he will also return. He intended that those words be comforting because they were very troubled and said, let not your hearts be troubled. Now this passage is not teaching us about the return of Christ to the earth, and there is much confusion about this. Some people refer to this promise to come back to get the disciples as the second coming of Jesus Christ. Well, if that's the second coming, what was his first coming? When he was born in Bethlehem. He came from heaven to the earth. But when Jesus said he would come back to get them, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he won't come back to the earth. When he does come back to the earth, that will be the second coming. But Paul taught us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, that there will be a meeting in the air, and that Christ will meet us in the clouds, and will be with him forever. That return is called the rapture. It comes from a Latin word for gathering up or snatching up. So in John chapter 14, when Jesus said he would return for them and take them where he would be, is a reference to the rapture, not to the second coming on the earth. Later, however, the Bible does tell us, and Jesus made it clear, that he will come to the earth. And why to the earth? Because God has promised him the reign over all mankind, and he's going to come back and set this world straight. Everything will be changed when Jesus Christ comes back to set up his millennial kingdom. You'll read about that in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. And Jesus foretold it in Matthew chapter 24 and described it in chapter 25 of the Gospel of Matthew. It will all come following that period of tribulation. There'll be great suffering on this earth. But after that, Jesus Christ will come back victorious with all his saints to strike down the enemy, to rule on this earth for 1,000 years. Friends, that's a glorious time. One of the shortest books in the New Testament is the Epistle of Jude. And you may not know much about it, but it's one of the most exciting books I have ever taught. Those teachings are on 4 cassette tapes, and they are available for your purchase. You'll enjoy them tremendously. Learn what the Book of Jude is all about. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.